Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Today's episode of the Monday Rundown, brought to you by our friends at Heartland Flags and heartlandflags.com. Rob, what's the garden flag of choice for this spring so far?
I like to feature some birds on the garden flag. I also have just some nice expressions, like a live happy, I think, is on one of the smaller garden flags. But I need to check out their huge selection, too, because I can always do for another flag, whether it be a mini flag or I think I might have the big flags covered, but mini flags put out here and there add a nice bit of atmosphere.
If you ever need any advice on your garden flags, I know at Rob W. Gray on Twitter would be more than happy to give you some advice on what will keep the birds and other critters out of the garden, away from your tomatoes.
Yeah, they're I just got some raspberries this year, so okay. I gotta probably net those and hope that it doesn't catch. Sometimes birds get caught in that, so I got to do that the right way. But yeah.
And that's Heartland Flags, heartlandflags.com, the presenting sponsor of this week's episode of the Monday Rundown. What's up, my man?
Not a whole lot.
How you doing? How's your weekend?
Pretty good.
Anything exciting?
My son pitched for the first time in his single A.
How did he do?
Not great.
Not great.
But he's made a lot of progress. And I think almost everyone at this level walks a lot of guys, is a little bit wild. And he threw some strikes. He just doesn't have a lot of velocity yet. I've worked with him on driving through, and you pitch with your whole body, not just your arm. He's come a long way that way, but he still kind of pitches with just his arm. But to be fairly accurate relative to everyone else, I mean, That's pretty big, because that's one of the hardest things to get, you know, versus throwing harder and that kind of stuff.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I never got the being accurate part down of being a pitcher, which is usually a pretty crucial piece.
You were Nuke,
yeah, from Boulderham. Yeah, I guess you could say that. I was maybe more of a wild thing type guy. I could throw
You'd
pretty
hit the
hard.
Mascot.
Yeah, being like 6'7", you could throw pretty hard, but I couldn't. I had no idea where it was going usually.
Yeah, I was always really accurate, and then the last couple of years I played, I actually threw pretty hard, and that just came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. It's like I was like a distance runner, and then I could actually run pretty fast. It just kind of like that.
Right.
It's weird how you develop that way.
Speaking of distance runners, you see the Sidney Milani down at the state track meet.
Incredible.
Yeah.
What a performance. I mean, from what, all-time best in a couple of categories?
Yeah, three events. I think the 100, 200, and 400.
Okay. And then
won the 800 as well.
Yeah, to be able to do that. I mean, that's a rare talent. I mean, what she did is one of the, if not, who knows, the best all-around performance in a single state track meet. I mean, I don't know how, because of being able to run that 800 and win it, mm-hmm. and being elite in the sprint categories, I mean, that's and coming to Iowa State too. So
I was just gonna say, and to make it even better, she's gonna be a Cyclone. I imagine that will be a name that we'll be hearing quite a bit here in the next several years. Her coach down at SEP, Chad Wilford, was my 7th grade art teacher.
Really?
He was my homeroom teacher.
He came over from Clarinda
Middle School.
There's been a Clarinda to Pleasant Hill pipeline for a while. Yeah. DJ Windhorst.
Yeah.
Came over, and they got the art teacher coming over coaching her up.
That's right. Yeah, he's been there for, man, it's been almost 10 years now, I guess. It's kind of crazy, but yeah, so that was pretty cool to see her have a ton of success down at the state track meet. And like I said, I'm sure we'll be hearing her name plenty in the next couple years out of that track program up in Ames. Did you see the promo we put out for Transfer U?
I did. What'd Very well done.
Yeah, that was good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Nikki did a really good job with that. It's been a fun project to work on, and I think that video turned out about as well as it possibly could have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look forward to seeing what you guys put together.
What'd you think of the Hawk Trolls that decided to come back at us for it?
It's the most ridiculous thing, because they're clinging to the initial BS critique of taking transfers when everyone's taking transfers now, almost everyone. And it's clearly been, you know, there's a track record of the transfers that came to Iowa State too. You know, what did they end up doing afterward? Well, many of them are successfully playing overseas, or in the case of Abdul Nader with the Celtics. There isn't compared to the general population, whether they're four-year players or, you know, just high school guys, there weren't more incidents, you know, with law enforcement or anything like that. So it was just a specious argument in the first place, but they, you know, they got to make it, right? Mm-hmm. And then doubling down over and over and over again. Now, the idea that anyone would pretend that their institution, given in the wake of some of the things we've seen at Baylor, at Penn State, at Michigan State, a lot of places, that they would pretend that their program, especially when they have something in the past that's pretty nasty, any program does, stands up and says, we're doing things the right way and you guys are doing things the wrong way, and it's the only way you can catch up to us because we are superior. Come on. That's just stupid. Mm-hmm. That's what I've got to say about that.
No, I agree 100%.
That's what I have to say about that.
I agree 100%. I mean, I think that I feel like the initial person who was doing it probably more was just doing it to be a dickhead.
Yeah.
Than he was to like actually try and win any sort of argument.
Yeah.
And he just knew that he was going to make people mad.
Yeah. But he couldn't resist kind of keeping going a little bit.
Right.
Could he?
Yeah. Well, it went all through the weekend, this discussion. Every time I checked the Cyclone Fanatic Twitter mentions,
yeah,
there was more going on in it, and I was just like, come on, like this is enough.
It's so sad that it has to be like that, because look, they should be proud of their programs there. They've had a lot of success, but why in the world does it have to be denigrating someone else? I mean, it seems to be an epidemic in a lot of ways that you can't enjoy what you have. What you need to do is run something else down. And somehow that makes you feel better than enjoying what you have. I don't understand it, but here we are.
Well, and two, I mean, the ideas that they were trying to spout as, like, their evidence for how Iowa State didn't have standards for their – or they basically let go of their standards just to take all these transfers that had been kicked out of their previous programs, when – I don't think most of them had been actually kicked out of their
programs. Some that were, like, Izzo vouched for the Michigan State guys.
Yeah.
It's like they weren't fitting here. We had a little issue that, you know, they didn't really talk about what the issue was, but I know for a fact that Izzo wanted the best for them. It wasn't like, oh, don't take these guys.
Right.
You know,
I would imagine,
agree.
Too, if Tom Izzo hadn't wanted Fred to take any of those guys, Fred's son probably wouldn't play for Tom Izzo now.
Yeah, yeah. if Izzo had been, and, you know, think of what's hit over there, you know, and it can encompass the entire athletics program. But I think Tom Izzo is a guy that is not going to give someone a bum steer. And certainly if he said, Fred, don't take player X, I'm telling you, you don't want him. You don't want him. Or it's a bad egg. You don't want him. You don't want him. And Fred takes him.
Right. You know? Well, and too, I mean, this is not obviously in that promo, but I know that something that will be piece of it is that the vetting process of these guys was pretty substantial.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like they just saw everybody out on the market and it's like, oh, we're going to go get this guy now. You know, like they went through a pretty thorough process before even agreeing to take some of these guys, or even agreeing to recruit some of them.
Well, but Jamie Pollard have stood for anything less. I mean, I think everyone has points of disagreement with any AD on certain things, whether it be, you know, players like, you know, however, you know, the situations are, pay versus whatever. But if he's anything, he's integrous. I mean, he's got integrity, and he wants that to be imbued into his every aspect of his athletic department. And I'm certain that he wasn't just telling Fred, do what you want, you know. No, the standards, Fred would have his own standards, of course, being the guy that he is, and that would, you know, be dispersed throughout the staff. But I'm sure Jamie was very adamant about how they were to go about doing that in, at the time, a very unique and pretty revolutionary way.
Right. I mean, there's just no one was doing that, you know. And that's the, there's the Jeff Goodman quote in the promo where he says that nobody had done it as hard as they were doing it at that time. And that's why I think a lot of people kind of crushed them at the moment. But now you look at it, and there's a lot of teams that are built on transfers that way.
Yep. I mean, you know? that's the blueprint for a rapid rebuild right there.
Right.
And it was a stroke of genius. I mean, it's kind of surprising. As you think about it, there's two parts to it. Who are some talented guys that maybe have a little bit of trouble somewhere, or they're just looking for a new place? How do we bring them in? How do we ensure, though, that they're not going to be a huge headache for us or cause, you know, a lot of embarrassment? And so you take the two steps. Like you seek to get them there, and at the same time, as you said, you really vet them, really vet them, and make it clear that, hey, we've got these standards, and they're not going to be, you know, broken.
We have a lot more time to talk about all of that here before the podcast series drops early next month. But we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back on the Monday Rundown presented by Heartland Flags.
Hello, friends. We'll get you back to the Cyclone Fanatic podcast here in just a minute. This is Chris Williams, and I want to tell you guys about a great experience I recently had. Mine was up at Ames Eye Clinic. Now, the same guys, Dr. Kruger and the crew, are also down in Des Moines. So we've got a lot of options for you here. But I had lunch with Dr. Kruger, and I was telling him about some of the symptoms that I had had. I was having headaches all the time. I felt like I needed like in the back of my neck, it was weird. It was like stiff all the time. I noticed, you know, I was having problems reading up close. It was weird. Went in, had my eyes checked, and sure enough, I had some issues going on that I never even thought of. I never had to wear glasses as a kid. You get a little bit older. They hooked me up with some glasses that I use now when I'm looking at my computer screen all day working here at Cyclone Fanatic. Headaches have not completely gone away, but they've gotten a lot better. If you're like me, you probably haven't had your eyes checked in years. It had been over a decade since I had. Really glad that I went in there. Most insurance, it's going to work because they can code it, that it's health. There's a lot of different things that can happen with that. I'd love for you guys to give them a shot. Ames Eye Clinic. It's up on 10th Street. If you are in Des Moines, it's over on 2600 Grand Avenue. They will hook you up. Awesome guys. They're big Cyclone fans and proud supporters of CycloneFanatic.com, and they've helped me a lot. All right, here back today to our newest installment of the Cyclone Fanatic podcast.
Welcome back to the Monday Rundown presented by Heartland Flags here on CycloneFanatic.com. We've got week one college football lines, Rob Gray.
It's outstanding.
How long do we even have until college football? Like 80-something days, probably?
We've got June, July,
okay,
most
so maybe
of August.
Like 90-something days?
Yeah, 90-something. High 90s, maybe.
Nothing better than some lines on the, you know, 99 days or whatever before college football actually starts.
Sure, there'll be some intriguing ones.
Right. We don't have an Iowa State, South Dakota State line yet, but we're going to guess one. We're going to put a line on the game here.
Yep.
Put on our Vegas experts caps. All right, what do you got? You said you've been doing some research on the Jacks.
I was thinking, based on where Iowa State ended last season, the trajectory it appears that they're on, coupled with the fact that the Jacks have been extremely successful, six straight playoff appearances, made the semis last season, got smoked, but still he made the semis. Home field, first game, I'm going to go 13.5.
Yeah, I'd say that's pretty fair.
I could even see it being a little bit higher, even though, you know, because the Iowa State, you know, when you get the offshore lines, and that's likely what we'll get for this, because a lot of times Vegas won't put a line in an FCS-FBS matchup, or do they ever? I'm not sure. But some of those Iowa State teams that were playing three-time defending national champ North Dakota State or a top 10 UNI team would get offshore lines of 7-10. You know, lose those games sometimes. And these were teams coming off 3-9 seasons, 2-10 seasons. So I could see it being higher, but I'm just guessing first game of the season that maybe might be around where the offshore, wanting to put it just under two touchdowns.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's probably pretty fair. That's about where I would, it's probably about where I would put it too. Somewhere in like the 13-16 range.
Yep.
You know? Some other ones that did come out Iowa, Northern Illinois has the Hawkeyes as a 13-point favorite over the Huskies in that one on September 1st.
That's at Kinnick, right?
Yeah. What other ones in note do we got here? Colorado State, 6 points. Oklahoma, a 23-point favorite over Lane Kiffin and Florida Atlantic. Man, this is going to be a week, first week.
You know what? I would not be surprised if Florida Atlantic really gave the Sooners a game.
Really?
There's a lot of turnover. Now, granted, you've also got a lot of five stars.
Yeah.
At Oklahoma. But Florida Atlantic, I mean, Lane Kiffin's done a nice job there. I mean, that's a nice little program now. And they've had very few peaks and a lot of valleys in their history at the FBS level. But
Game for a new quarterback for the Sooners. I could see it.
I mean, maybe it ends up being that type of differential in the end, but a game that maybe is kind of fairly even for a half or in maybe into the third quarter. I wouldn't be surprised by that at all.
I don't know how Vegas is doing their rollouts or whoever it is putting these lines out. They don't have any of the lines out for the actual major games that weekend. Michigan, Notre Dame, or Alabama, Louisville. So
they're probably thinking the games with the most action, they're going to take a little bit more time on, I'd imagine.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Just wait and see a little bit here over the next several months.
Because if somebody were able to lock in such and such and player X and Y or kicked off the team or, you know, or get injured or, excuse me, boy, that could that could cause a huge upheaval.
I mean, think about Alabama, if Jalen Hurts isn't going to be the starter. So he transfers and then Tua tears his ACL on the third day of fall camp. And then all of a sudden they're on their third string quarterback going into week one. That would obviously make a big difference in what they were doing right now.
Absolutely.
Man, we just talked about week one college football lines in mid-May.
It seems closer than it really is. That's why I think you were thinking 80s, because it really, but man, it'll be a snap. And we'll be doing fall camp interviews and all that stuff.
Can't wait, man. It's going to be great.
Indeed.
All right. You got anything else?
Nothing other than the Cardinals and Cubs locked in a battle behind the – who's kidding who? The Brewers will be overtaken. It's just a matter of who's going to do it. But it's been a nice competitive NL Central season so far.
I don't think I've watched more than 6 pitches of baseball this year.
I've watched maybe a full game once.
Yeah.
I used to want to watch every single full game. And I was like, man, I've got things to do outside. I got other stuff to do. So I keep track, but yeah.
I'm too deep into NBA mode right now.
I think the Cavs are going to push it to 7 at least.
Oh, yeah, probably.
I think they probably will too. I'm not surprised. I expected the Cavs to win the first game back in Cleveland. Did not expect them to win by 30.
Yeah.
I don't think that means anything at all to the Celtics and their mindset. I still think they somehow get to the finals, even without Kyrie and Gordon, which is an amazing achievement in itself. But been really entertaining games.
I feel like we're in for a good game 4 tonight.
I think so too.
First good game in 2 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, Houston and Golden State, I've found obviously more entertaining. I'm entertained when the Celtics win, obviously. But
even then, though, they've all been blowouts.
Yeah, but I mean, just good basketball. I mean, that's something in and of itself.
I don't know. The Warriors probably aren't going to lose again if they play the way they did last night here for too much longer. All right. Anything else? You good?
Nope. Let's roll.
All right, man. Thanks for coming in. Thanks again to Heartland Flags for being the presenting sponsor of this week's episode of the Monday Rundown. I'll talk to you guys again tomorrow. Peace.